right, petty cast time. B. Scott in for Seth today and tomorrow. Texans training camp gets started tomorrow, 6 a.m. We'll be on 6 to 8. And then Mark Vandermeer and John Harris get the hot tag from us, as they say in WWE. And they will be on for Texans Radio. Texans Training Camp Live starts tomorrow for the next 10 radio days.
Dude, this is going to be a fun day. You were talking about how yesterday feels like, or, you know, the media party that y'all did felt like kind of like a first day of school. It's like the first day of school all over again. You get two first days.
Yeah, the first practice feels that way too, for sure.
Yeah.
And we'll have the practices coming up soon enough where you guys will be out there. If you're a Texans fan or a season ticket holder, fortunate enough to get tickets to practice, should be a whole lot of fun this year. Man, this defense is going to be fun to watch at practice. The jawing, the trash talk, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Text message, B. Scott, you literally just did a petty cast when Sean was in Jamaica. That was Sean Bajani who was in for me that week when I was in Jamaica. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I was here for that. Nope. So yeah, no, it's been a while. If I've done one, I'm ready to get petty.
All right, so let's do this. A lot of this is audio that we've played over the last few days, but that's okay. It's petty audio. It fits in this segment. If you've got anything you're petty about, text in. We'll read the text as we roll along here. All right. This was Steve Sarkisian at the SEC media days being introduced by Greg Sankey, the commissioner. And with each coach that got introduced, they play their school's fight song to walk out, a little WWE-like. That's your walkout music. This is not the walkout music you're supposed to play for the University of Texas head coach.
He was the 2020 Broyles Award winner for assistant coach, as offensive coordinator at Alabama. He's married to the former L'Oreal Smith. Steve has two daughters, Ashley and Taylor, a son, Brady, and he and L'Oreal welcomed Welcome to Son Amias in April of 2025. The head coach at the University of Texas, Steve Sarkisian.
That's rough. We got to let this play to the end because he tries to slough it off.
Yikes on bikes.
All righty. Welcome.
Okay. I'm still a little angry at him that he didn't use that as a chance to get snarky, but that's...
Yeah, I mean, where is his pettiness?
Yeah.
Come on, get petty, Steve.
My question, was that a petty Aggie prank, or was that an honest mistake by somebody? Because if it's a prank, that is very petty, to embarrass the Texas head coach up there like that by playing his rival's theme music.
Yeah,
Do you think there was intent?
So I don't know the answer, but I do hope that there was intent, because that would at least it would be petty, but that would at least be funny.
Be juicy, man.
If it was an accident, that is just, you know, a clumsy mistake.
Yeah.
So I prefer it be on purpose and a petty, funny joke.
Okay, yeah, I do too. Longhorns think, I mean, the Longhorns I talk to will go to their grave saying that was intentional. That was an Aggie who did that or who paid somebody to do it.
I think that there is something to that, that's in play.
I hope that's the case.
Yeah, I do too. Make it a lot more interesting.
This is a new version of stealing a mascot.
Yeah.
You know, like at least no animals got harmed in this case. You know, it's just a song. That's all it is.
I wonder, though, if they were predicting that Sark would not have some kind of juicy response to it, because I don't know how he doesn't go up there and get up there and say F that song, some version of F that song.
I would be so disappointed if that, like, I brought this up to Seth, was giving Sarkisian a bit of a pass when we played that audio, and I said, if that was Marcus Freeman, the coach at my school,
right,
and they played the Michigan fight song walking up there, if he just walks up there and no sells it
and goes, all righty,
pissed, all righty, how we all doing out there? Oh my god.
Yeah, you've got to have some version of, man, doesn't that song suck?
Yes.
You know, something like,
man,
that, you know.
Sarkisian needs to grow his union, man.
Come on, Sark, man. Get with Lloyd Howell and grow your union, dude.
All right. CJ Gardner-Johnson did the Pivot podcast. He is feeling very petty about his departure from Philadelphia. Why are you no longer an Eagle, CJ GJ?
Why are you now a Houston Texan and not a Philadelphia Eagle?
Scared of a competitor.
You said they're scared of a competitor?
Yeah. Simple as that.
What you mean?
The Eagles.
You can't program a dog. Certain dogs, you can't say be a dog and then it's time to go out there. Hey, we need you. Look at the Washington Commanders game. I got kicked out. I was nowhere near the play. Nowhere near the play. Everybody's fed up with me. And I'm like, if you go back to that play I celebrated with Reed Blankenship. And I'm getting cursed from head to toe on the sideline and looked at Vic even get on me. I'm like, what did I do? So, you know, people in the box, they call down and they're trying to figure out why am I getting kicked. They was trying to reverse the call. Because guys come off the sideline. Dude, if you watch that game, the game was already heavily. That's what sparked it. Then we had like a little scrum between at practice. Nothing. It's just offense versus defense. But who's the culprit of it? Me, I guess, because I guess we're competing. When you telling the period is live, you telling us not to compete during a live period, but it's a live period. We competing to get ready for a playoff game. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. It's like little antic things that, okay, so how you want to play football?
Dude, I can't wait for practice with this guy. The stories he had just from practice on this podcast.
Yeah.
Whether it was a practice, an internal practice, he's talking about popping guys in a practice getting ready for a playoff game.
Yeah.
I just love how he's like, yeah, the
scared of a competitor.
The Super Bowl champions. Scared of a competitor.
Scared of a competitor. That's petty.
Yeah.
That is petty, and I'm here for it.
Took down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Scared of a competitor.
Scared of a competitor.
Can I get just a little additionally petty on his point about not being able to program at all?
I saw you. Is that what you were talking to Ben about on the back channel?
Yeah. I'm like, wait, what? I feel like I've literally seen that before.
Yeah. Yeah. You can program
a time or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, they even got like microchips. I don't know.
They do. Yeah,
go off.
There's a whole
CJ.
There's a whole business out there on programming dogs.
Yeah, So somebody tell them. Somebody drop it in the group chat.
Clearly, CJ Gardner Johnson, cat owner. Yeah. All right. Shaquille O'Neal feeling very petty towards Robert Griffin III.
This was funny.
Yeah, this was Shaq on a podcast, basically threatening to punch RG3 in the face if he ever posts about Angel Reese again.
Oh, speaking of man, RG3, tweet another monkey post about my girl Angel Reese. I'm punching your f-ing face. Okay? It's enough. Like, I don't usually do stuff like this, but just stop it, bro. You got your job. You got your podcast. Leave my Angel Reese alone. I'm the one calling her and telling her not to respond. F-ing stop it. That's the last time. Okay? Thank you. It's not real hate. If you look around what's going on in this real country, that's hate. This is sports. I'm not supposed to like you. It's a shame that all the stuff you did in your life, you're going to be remembered for your podcast. You're going to be remembered for your podcast. That should tell you you're not that f-ing great. I don't want to be remembered for Shaq's Bit podcast. I do not. Like, leave those girls alone. You already spoke on it. Let it go. So what? He hates us. So f-ing what? I hate you now. Okay. I'm messing with her. Now what? Say something about me.
Okay, so Shaq's going to punch him in the face. The post in question was one where, if you just read the text of the post, Robert Griffin III seems to be supporting Angel Reese. Somebody put out a racist version of they turned Angel Reese into a monkey on the cover of the WNBA video game.
Right.
And so Robert Griffin III was saying this needs to stop, but he also put the graphic up there in the tweet. Yeah. People were like, you're in part promoting that tweet by putting that picture out there attached to it. Do I have that right? Is that the main issue that people have with RG3?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people who are sick of RG3's antics, so to speak, were glad that somebody came out and said this. We're glad that Shaq came out and said this. But it was extremely petty, especially the part specifically about not being remembered for your podcast.
Yeah.
I know this is a...
That drifted into petty.
Yeah. Because I know this is a
you
back
suck
and forth
at sports,
between
RG3.
At some point, Shaq is Shaq.
Yeah.
And RG3 did have a great rookie year.
Yeah.
And was great at one point, obviously, you know, Heisman winner and all of that stuff. But like, not being remembered for your podcast, I don't know. Somebody tell Shaq that it's 2025 and it's not a bad thing to be remembered for a podcast.
Right.
You know, they make a lot of money and they're kind of a thing now. So
yeah.
It's not the worst thing to be remembered for. What you don't want to be remembered for is the stuff that Robert Griffin III is being remembered
Correct.
For, podcast aside. It's just some of the off-the-field, some of the ancillary commentary. But, yeah, no, this was extremely petty. And I will say with Shaq, like, I don't know how good of a fighter he is because he's Shaq. Like, I believe him. Like, if Shaq threatens to punch me in the face, I'm probably going to think twice about what I say.
He was up here back in, like, 2018 when the Rockets were in the Western Conference Finals. He was up here in our studios because he had a podcast back then. He's got one now, but back then he had a different podcast. So he was using our studio next door, like the studio next to the studio where we were doing the triple threat in right there.
Yeah.
And but the give back for letting him use that studio was, will you go on with our afternoon show? And he was like, yeah, sure. He was great. He was on for like two or three segments with us.
That's great.
He's the largest. He was awesome. He's the largest human being I've ever been near.
Easily.
He's massive.
Yeah, I saw him. I was still in high school, and he would have been with this actually would have been the year that the Heat won the title that he won with the Dwayne Wade title against 06. The Mavs. So in 06, I was working in the Galleria at the time, and Shaq came through, and I saw him from like what felt like a mile away,
mm-hmm.
and it could only be one person. You know, like,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, that he's the one person that you can spot from like, let's call it 200 yards away and say, that's Shaq.
I'll find the picture during the break and show it to you. He takes a picture with me and I can't remember if Rich and Ted. Ted was there for sure. I can't remember if Rich was there. Laura Reynolds was there though. And Shaq is taking a picture with the three of us. He's got his arms around all of us and his hand is on Laura Reynolds' shoulder.
Yeah.
And it looks cartoonish how big his hand is on her. It's crazy.
Yeah.
He's massive.
Yeah. It's wild that God made a man that large.
Yeah, that was as skillful as he was. I mean, I know he wasn't, you know, he had his trouble at the free throw line and whatnot, but man, agility and everything else.
Like early Shaq, man. Like Shaq was probably an underrated skillful player just for how massive he is.
Not just like the ability to get up and down the floor as fast as he could.
Yeah, man.
All right, so let's see here. I'm going to get a little petty about this because Francesa was petty about it. Mike Francesa, longtime radio host in New York, reviewed the movie Superman, the new Superman movie that's out.
I'm still trying to get to see it.
Yeah, Amy and I went and saw it last Friday. We went Friday afternoon. In part because of this horrible review of it. Like, I'd seen great reviews of it, and I'd heard this scene and seen this review by Mike Francesa.
What I'm getting into is this stunk as for someone who's a old-time TV show Superman guy trying to get entertained for a couple hours. And wants to see Superman. This movie was pure torture to sit through. Torture. I mean, I'll tell you this. If my name was on the credits, I'd hide it. That's how bad it was. This was 2 hours of this new Superman. It was a decent. He wasn't Christopher Reeve, but he was okay Superman. 2 hours of him getting the crap beat out of him. Who wants to see Superman get beat up for 2 hours? He's getting beat up by everybody. Plus, you have other superheroes in the movie. I didn't go there to see some guy named Mr. Terrific. I didn't go there to see the Green Lantern or some lady named Hawk something or other. I don't even know who she was. Lantern. Okay, these other superheroes who he calls on. Who needs other superheroes? This is a Superman movie. You want to see Superman flirt with Lois Lane, keep its disguise, and battle crime. That's what you want to see. Early on, there's robots. I don't want robots. Okay, I don't want robots taking care of Superman. I don't. Then there's a super dog. Who came up with a super dog? I mean, we all like dogs, okay? And I didn't like the dog getting beat on in the movie. It bothered me. But hey, who came up with a dog with a cape? When did that arrive?
The dog ended up being a big part of the movie.
Yeah, but also I think that's a part of the story. Like, I think there is a super dog, like somewhere.
No, there is. Ben Gary, our producer, was kind enough. Ben
technically Superboy's dog, but he was introduced in the comics in 1955.
He's part of canon. He's part of the right.
Yeah.
Yes. He lives in that world. So I went and saw the movie.
Yeah.
Having heard the review of Mike Francesa and the prism through which he looked at it and seen the many reviews, which are good, it's getting, you know, however you view Rotten Tomatoes, to me, it's one of those things, if it's on either end of like, if it's real, you know, really low scores or really high, it has really high scores on Rotten Tomatoes. It's like 93% audience, 83% critics. I am definitely an audience viewer. I feel like critics are a little too.
Oh yeah. They're kind of precarious.
Way too nitpicky.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was a solid, good 2 hours spent. I didn't drink during the movie. We went to IPIC. I just had Diet Cokes the whole time, so I'm not looking at this through the view of like, oh, I had a bottle of wine. Anything's amazing after a bottle of wine. I was drinking Coke Zeros the whole time, and I enjoyed it. It was a fun 2 hours. I didn't mind that he was getting his ass kicked part of the time.
Yeah, I have seen others in critiquing the movie saying that they didn't feel comfortable seeing Superman get his ass kicked as much as he did apparently in this movie.
Yeah.
But it does feel, not to get too deep on superhero movies and how what direction they're going in, but this does feel like the post-Marvel life of superhero movies where the superheroes get beat up and that's part of the story of like overcoming the adversity. So like that does kind of feel, and then the robots and all the stuff that he's talking about.
I need my heroes to get beat down a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, it does feel like the post-Marvel world of superhero movies where there's a lot more conflict and it's not just a given that the superhero is going to win and kick everybody's ass
more
the entire time.
Yeah, like vulnerability I think is the word. Yeah vulnerability. And Francesa, you watch the movie, so you know this. It's you know, it's every movie like this, just generationally, it's largely the same story. You know, there's a Lex Luthor in the movie that Superman is trying to overcome. Like, literally, there's a guy playing bald-headed Lex Luthor in the movie. It's just modernized to where now they've got iPhones. You know, they had a room full of... Lex Luthor had hired literally a room full of monkeys to tap away at computers to put out hashtags on social media that were negative about Superman, so he would be getting negative buzz out there. Literal room full of monkeys.
Dude, that's actually pretty funny.
Yes.
Now I'm even more intrigued. But
go see it. If people are asking me, go see it. Like, I'm not into superhero movies. Yeah. I'm not a Marvel guy at all.
Yeah.
But I wanted to go see it because of what everybody was talking about and make the judgment for myself. I judge it to be a worthwhile 2 hours spent. It was very mindless and brainless and awesome. It was fine.
Just haven't had time yet, but definitely plan on going to go see it and will not be bothered by Superman being, dare I say, vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's okay, Francesa.
And Mr. Terrific was awesome.
Yeah.
I liked Mr. Terrific a lot in this movie.
And I was going to say, that's also the post-Marvel world of, the post-Avengers world of superhero movies. To add a little flair in there, get some crossover, get some other superheroes in there. It's not the end of the world, dude.
All right, real quick, we'll revisit this later in the show, but we'd be remiss not to play the most petty comment of the last 24 hours. Jerry Jones on paying or not paying Micah Parsons.
Just because we sign him doesn't mean we're going to have him. He was hurt 6 games last year. Seriously. We've signed, I remember signing a player for the highest paid at the position in the league, and he got knocked out 2/3 of the year, Dak Prescott. So there's a lot of things you can think about when you... just as the player does when you're thinking about committing and guaranteeing money. Dude,
let him keep talking. Please let him keep talking.
You know, I'm curious, what does Jerry Jones think will happen if you don't sign them? Because you know what that means? You know, he says, just because you sign them doesn't mean you're going to have them. You know what it definitely means if you don't sign them?
Yeah.
You ain't going to
have
them.
You know how many games he's going to miss for the Cowboys if they don't sign him? 17.
All of them.
17 games. I counted. I looked at their schedule.
Every single one of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
So. All right. Payne and Pendergast. All right. Texts are rolling in. We'll read some of your texts, of course. 713-572-4610. This is kind of local. I mean, Jalen Hurts is a Houston area guy. We like Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Right?
Shout out Channel View in the East Side.
Why are people so underwhelmed by Jalen Hurts, Super Bowl MVP?
Yeah.
I don't get it. We will visit this coming up next.